So I don't welcome you all today to day 16 of the 40, contentment. Man, I would never have thought that me, Zach Mason, would be here today talking to you about contentment, reading to you from the Bible. It just wasn't me. It was an old me, a me that thankfully is left, is gone, is buried. Pastor Todd's a good friend of mine. He met me recently. He doesn't know a whole lot other than what I've told him about my life before I met Jesus, before I came to the church, before God saved me. And I want to talk to you today about that because I also am a high performer, high achiever. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started a few businesses. And I don't say that out of arrogance, but it's important contextually because I know a lot of my audience are those people's too. And what's important is not letting your ambition and your desire to grow, your desire to build, overtake God's promises on your life. It's very easy to get dissatisfied with where we are in life. It's very easy to get dissatisfied with our circumstances. It's very easy to live conditionally. When I look around, I don't see a lot of contentment. I don't see it. I don't see contentment anywhere. And I see a lot of conditional living. We live in a conditional society. If then, then I'll feel good. When this happens, then I will feel good. That's a really difficult way to live. And that's a way that God doesn't want us to live. He wants us to have faith enough in His promises, in His word, that we will not live under condition. But a lot of us are waiting. We're waiting to be happy. We're waiting to have peace in our lives. We're waiting to feel loved. We're waiting to feel safe. We're waiting for an outcome in the material world. We're waiting for a business to reach a certain level of success. We're waiting for a project to be done. We're waiting for our kids to come back to God. We're waiting for our kids to stop hanging out with those friends, because only then will I be able to have peace, to sleep at night, to have joy. These things are not on the other end of an outcome. God is an amazing God because He brings you those things today. He says, come to me, have faith, believe that I will follow through on all of my promises. There's a lot of promises in the Bible, thousands. And every one of those promises, I can all but guarantee you, is something that you're chasing after, and you believe somewhere down the road in your past, you started to believe that the promise that you are aching for, the promise that your heart wants more than anything in this world, whether that be peace, joy, safety, love, feeling like you're enough, you think your promise is on the other side of an outcome, of you meeting somebody, of you feeling loved by other people through likes on Instagram, of you building a business past a certain level, of you getting the family that you think in your head you need in order to be at rest. I too am like you. I was building businesses. I was doing everything I could to feel loved. And in 2016, in my office, after multiple all-nighters, at that point in my life, I was drinking a half gallon of coffee a day. And that just sounds crazy to me right now. I kind of knew it was then, but it sounds really crazy right now. I don't even like admitting the person that I was. But the person that I was is a part of me, and it's the reason I am where I am today. So I love that person. But I was sitting in my office, chest tight, left arm numb. I thought I was having a heart attack. I drove to the hospital. I don't know why I drove to the hospital. I was going to wait and see. There's worse places to be than the hospital when you have a heart attack, right? Thankfully, nothing ended up happening. But I had pushed myself. I drove myself so hard to be successful, to build something, because I wanted so badly to feel loved, to feel like I was enough. You can tell I didn't have God in my life, because that's like day one Bible. He promises you love. He promises that you are enough. You are sufficient, and He is sufficient for you. He promises you don't have to do anything. You just don't. It's unconditional. He's the only one that can give it to you. Nobody else can. Some of you, I'm begging you to talk to God. Ask him why you're feeling this discontentment. Ask him why you're dissatisfied. What's going on? What's the question? What are you trying to answer behind your discontentment? And see if he can work out an answer for you. I can all but guarantee that he can. Or he'll send something your way, or he'll put something in your path that will lead you to that answer. It might not happen automatically, but the more you return to God and the more you return to God's promises for you, you will arrive quicker than you think. I want you to let your body be filled with his promises. Every time you have doubt, every time you have fear, have promises on deck, right in your head, teed up, for you to live in, for you to think about, for you to let permeate in your soul. Because right now, what you're letting permeate is doubt. What you're letting permeate is fear, is discomfort. So I want you to focus instead on God's promises. You know, in 2021, after years and years and years, you thought the heart attack experience would kind of slow me down. Well, it didn't. I ended up in a hospital in December of 2022. My marriage was at an all-time low. My family relationships, my friendships, my business was suffering, and I was suffering. I was hollow. I was humbled. But for some reason, I felt lighter. For some reason, I felt like this was my chance. This was a fresh start. It took me basically becoming empty, empty enough so there was room for God to work in me. There was room for God to fill me with what he wanted me to feel, to fill me with what he wanted to say, what he wanted me to say to myself. And that's around when I met Todd. So Todd doesn't know all the other stuff that we just talked about. But he saw me hungry, on fire, as you can tell, for Jesus. And that's exactly what Timothy was. That's exactly who Timothy was. He didn't have the past that I did, but he was on fire. He was wanting to build a church. He was put in the position of leadership in the church of Ephesus, and Paul wrote him a letter. He calls it a command. It's that important. A command to Timothy, instructions on how to run a church, how to run a church of God, how to teach people the right way of living. And I love that. I love older Christians sharing wisdom with younger Christians that are called to the Lord, that want to be great. It's important. It's the way that the word spreads. It's how you put a seed in a young, budding entrepreneur. It's how you set up the next generation. So if you're an older Christian and you're strong in your faith, start planting seeds today. We need CEOs, we need entrepreneurs, we need business leaders in positions of power and influence who are believers, because they will influence the next generation and the next generation. They will build Christ into their business, and for that reason, it will impact everybody. So it's time. It's time for leaders, it's time to elders to rise up and instruct the next generation. And at the very end of these instructions, we start this Bible verse, the Bible verse for today. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Man, how hard is that for some of us to accept? If you're like me, and you got big ambitions, big dreams, it's probably really hard. You want to accept it. You can't say no to it. It's in the Bible. It's God's word. So what is he actually calling us to do? What are we so afraid of? What are we so afraid of saying yes to? Is it thinking that we're going to settle? Or we're going to stop? We're going to slow down? That's the devil's trick. The devil is telling you not to be content. He is telling you what you don't have and you need in order to receive what God has already promised. God is calling us to godliness. What is godliness? It is the likeness. It's being like God. It is having God's perspective. It is living as a reflection of who God is. That is godliness. I say yes to that. I'll say yes to that every day. Because God is great. God is wonderful. He is perfect. Why would I not want to be more like him? And what is contentment? What is contentment? It's just a belief in the promises of God. It's just a faith. Contentment is an expression of faith, because everything that you are discontent about, that you think that you need in order to go higher, in order to grow, in order to be bigger, in order to get something. You think you need something else. You need an outcome. But really, all you need is God's promises. They're literally like fresh baked cookies in a cookie jar. Every promise is a cookie. You think that that cookie and that cookie jar is at the end of some rope. It's at the end of the Super Bowl ring. Then you can eat a cookie. It's at the end of a business. Then you can eat a cookie. It's at the end of a project stopping. It's at the end of traffic getting out of your way. It really goes to everything. Everything, all the discontentment we feel, from the small things to the big things, there is a cookie for all of it. Jesus is not at the end of some rope waiting for you with all these promises. He is standing right next to you saying, "My good and faithful son or daughter, eat, taste, and see a peace that surpasses all understanding." Gosh, that is so good. A love, an unconditional love. How much of us just need unconditional love? Well, he's got it for you. Try it. And I guarantee you, if you seek to live like God, in godly ways, with God's perspective on your life, and you seek contentment through faith in God's promises, life, the burdens, the weight you feel will be lifted. Now that is true freedom. That is the freedom that I experienced. I'm done with the old. I'm here for the new. And won't you guys join me too?